here in a moment. This is going to be a very interesting week for our Steinhoffels sleepers of the week. Easy for me to say. We are separated by 2 points from first to last in our season standings.
Good battle.
With 1 week to go after the results last week from AFC Richmond Analytics. Yeah.
It depends who you look at and how that goes.
Well,
quickly, yeah. Little report from Rob Domofsky from the podium. Someone asked LaFleur, who is the number two quarterback this week behind Clayton Toon? The answer, to be determined, which means absolutely nothing. I think it's going to be Desmond Ridder. That's what I think is going to happen.
Thank you for that report.
You're welcome.
You think Jordan Love comes out in street clothes? He's not even active for the
yes.
game? Okay.
Yeah, if you're not going to play him, why on earth would you put him as a backup and then have to play him for a full game if something happens? That makes no sense. It's going to be Malik Willis or Ridder. Otherwise, none of this makes any sense to me.
I guess that also makes sense why you would bring in a guy that has played in the NFL and started games before and beaten the Green Bay Packers, because if it comes to an emergency situation, at least he's been on a field before and knows what he's doing getting out there. Desmond Ridder in Green Bay earlier this week. For more on that, we bring in Jason Wilde en route to Minneapolis for the big Week 18 showdown between the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings. Jason
Wilde. Osseo Fairchild.
Yeah, where are
you?
We got a big wager on it. Where are you right now?
We just passed through Wausau, and we're beyond that by about 15 minutes.
Yeah, not even close to Eau Claire.
He's not. Yeah, I thought he'd be a little further along, so that's on me.
Well, our clock
country.
Management has not been great.
You're heading into the pie corridor, though, of Rice Lake
yeah.
and Osseo?
You're going to stop for
that's
lunch
pie? That's the pie corridor yeah. of the state of Wisconsin.
Of signal.
Okay.
That's the really most important thing.
Yeah, his phone signal's not doing so hot. So okay.
Jason, what did you think? I just get Domofsky. Domofsky just tweeted about who's going to be the backup, and it's to be determined. I couldn't agree with you more. Like, if you're going to not play Jordan Love, then don't play him. You're not going to suit him up, right?
Yeah. I'm not sure that the way I asked the question yesterday was appropriate, but. The only way you make sure you're not risking him is if you don't suit him up, because you have no control if he's your number two backup. And frankly, I would maybe go in with one and then just punt on first down if I have to the rest
Jason.
Of the time.
Okay,
maybe not that, but we know that Jaden Reed is the emergency quarterback. Like, if you don't think you can find roster space for Desmond Ridder, then what the hell did you bring him in for? Like, he has to be one of your two practice squad call-ups, and then you call up a wide receiver or whoever it might be. Like, just I assume they have to. Can they get through with two running backs? Can they get through
sure.
with just Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks? Because then you
yep.
do that, right? Like, I just mm-hmm. the idea that you're going to have Jordan Love in uniform, when the whole idea of playing this game the way you're going to is to make sure you don't get Jordan Love hurt, I can't wrap my head around that.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Oh. Jason joins us en route to Minnesota, in large part because we're going to do our headlines coming up next, predicting the outcome of the Channel3000.com Bowl on Sunday afternoon, but also because it has been such a highly contested contest among the three of us all season long. It is time now for our Steinhoffels Sleepers of the Week.
Don't sleep, you gotta stay up.
Hey there, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey.
Okay.
It's time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week on Wilde and Tausch.
It is time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week, presented by Steinhoffel, where you can ring in the new year with big savings during Steinhoffel's New Year's. Right now, take 10% off store-wide, plus get $50 off every $499 you spend. So the more you shop, the more you save. And don't miss this. Stop in and test rest a mattress you'll get a $20 gift card for lunch. And Steinhoffels will also donate $20 to Special Spaces Wisconsin, helping create dream bedrooms for kids battling cancer. You know, they donate $1,000 every time whoever's kicking for the Packers, and obviously it's been Brandon McManus now for quite a while. Again, every time they make a field goal, it's another $1,000 to Special Spaces Wisconsin from Steinhoffels. You can shop in-store or online during Steinhoffels New Year's four-day sale, either in-store or online at steinhoffels.com.
How about that? A read from the road from Jason Wilde. Well done.
He's a pro.
Even though Jason's on the road joining the show remotely, we are going to keep the rules in place, which is Tausch always goes first for an unfair competitive advantage.
Exactly. And this is the first time in forever, 10 years of doing the show, that I haven't clinched the Steinhoffels championship. Usually I clinch it by about week 14.
Yeah, usually, yeah.
Dogfight. It's easy for me. I know who's going to be playing quarterback. I think he's going to have a good day. I'm going Clayton Tune as my Steinhoffel sleeper of the week.
Hmm. Jason?
What's so funny starting about quarterback, that? Nothing.
Yeah, he's never taken a snap in his life in the NFL. So. Except for last week.
He started a game back as a rookie.
I forgot.
So he played in college. He played in college with Matthew Golden. Matthew Golden has not been overly productive. I know Matt LaFleur talked about him at the podium today. So if you're going to take the starting quarterback, I'm going to take the first round pick. I'll take Matthew Golden.
All right. I'm going to go with Chris Brooks. Because I think this is going to be vanilla offense USA, and it's going to be run the football with the third string running back. Chris Brooks is my Steinhoffels sleeper of the week selection. So we have the starting quarterback, the number one draft pick wide receiver, and running back Chris Brooks. Those are our picks for this week's Steinhoffels sleepers of the week for Packers Vikings. Jason, do you have any indication of anyone else who will be playing a significant amount of time at this juncture, 48 hours from kickoff?
Yeah, sure. Bo Melton, Luke Musgrave. You know, he's been a popular pick for our Steinhoffels sleeper of the week. Josh Wiley. I'm guessing they're going to go in with only two tight ends because, again, if they need to use their practice squad call-ups, they got to use one on Desmond Ridder. Otherwise, can you imagine the smoke the head coach would take if somehow Jordan Love ended up having to play in this game? Can you imagine? Gotta be Ridder as the backup.
Can't happen. Can't happen.
It can't. It just can't. Can't happen.
Nope.
I will say this. I am eager to see who they trot out there at corner. I am excited to see. I think it's pretty clear that Trayvon Diggs is going to play. So, as I said during my first appearance on the program, that makes this interesting to me. I know it's not ideal, and I know Tausch doesn't like August football in January, but that makes it very interesting to me. So that'll be among the things that I'll be keeping my eye on.
Those are our Steinhoffels Sleepers of the Week selections. It's brought to us by Steinhoffels. Jason, you're going to stick around for one more segment to do headlines with us, right?
I have my headline ready. I used the extra time it took for you to get to the 11 o'clock hour to write my headline, so I am ready to go.
That's rich.
Kind of getting after you a little bit there.
He is.
Gel?
He sure
getting
is.
After you.
Again, who is the one constant? Would be my only question.
By the way.
Oh, boy.
I tuned in Tuesday, and Bulaga was on, like, his first part of his hit at 11:10.
Well, we all know Bulaga's part of the problem. We all get that, right?
He's part of the solution as well, just like Tausch is.
Nice win for his Hawkeyes in the ReliaQuest Bowl. Too bad he wasn't there to see it. Jason, since you're sticking around, you've perfected the live read during your drive. Would you like to take us to commercial break on the phone as well?
Yeah, did you want me to tell you about Grubelov's with David's smiling face? Right there, injured, Gruber Law. I'm looking at it right now. Can I take video while I'm on the phone?
Nice.
I think I can. If you've been injured, make the call. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Grubelov's is one call, that's all. The other billboard after that was A&W, which does sell ice cream. Maybe they should join the Wilde and Tausch crew when it comes to partnerships. Next, we will do our headlines. I took a page out of the Tauscher Academy book, but of course I can't do it as short as they do. A limerick, but an extended limerick for me. Find out what Tausch and his brothers came up with next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
With Wilde and Tausch. Jason Wilde joining the show on his way to cover Packers Vikings in Minneapolis in the Week 18 regular season finale on Sunday afternoon. He joins us remotely as he continues the voyage with the family on his way to Minnesota. Packers and Vikings in the regular season finale. Continuing reactions to Matt LaFleur at the podium. Tausch, what's this tweet that you saw here this morning?
Sent it to you. In essence, we asked Rob this because when I was looking through the notes from, I don't know whoever sent the quotes over last night, the Matthew Golden quote was really interesting, that he was not going to be a playoff premier player or whatever the quote was. And I asked Rob if he was taken aback, and he said he was shocked that that was the case. And Steno has had he's put himself out there sometimes where I don't think he's probably said things that the head ball coach wanted him to say. And I think this is another instance because now LaFleur basically just said, no, Matthew Golden's going to be someone that we're going to count on in the playoffs, which whether or not that's true, I don't know, but he doesn't want the Chicago Bears and Philadelphia Eagles to not think that, or mainly Matthew Golden to think that. So seems like a little backtracking by Matt LaFleur after what Steno said. I don't know, Jason, if you were there yesterday, but is that not how you read this as well?
I was there yesterday when he said this, and it did seem like another episode of Steno, who, again, from my perspective, I want him to be blunt. I want him to be honest. I obviously covered Steno as a player when you were mentoring him as a young pup out of Michigan, out of the potato corridor. And I really like him. I love seeing him at, when our daughter's sporting events intersect. But I do find myself wondering, because I don't believe Ed Policy is going to move on from Matt LaFleur, but I do find myself wondering if there will be some new blood on the coaching staff. And again, it was interesting that LaFleur, I took this as a public rebuke of what his offensive coordinator had said. Now, it goes both ways.
Absolutely, it's a public rebuke.
So a couple of weeks ago, LaFleur called the mistakes on special teams catastrophic, and Bisaccia went out of his way to say that they weren't catastrophic. So again, you always talk about making sure that the messaging is on point. I don't even know if the coaches can keep their messaging on point among each other, but we can criticize Steno for saying that, because my first thought was, well, that's not what Matthew Golden wants to hear.
No.
But the bottom line is, he has not been a prim option for them. He hasn't.
No.
And it's been injuries. It's been opportunities. So, you can say Steno shouldn't have said it, but it doesn't make him wrong. Like, who are you taking off the field to play Matthew Golden more? Watson? Reed?
Nope.
Dobbs?
Nope.
right? So those three should get the lion's share of the wide receiver snaps. If you're not one of those three, are you a premier weapon in the playoffs? No, you are not. So he's got truth as a defense.
I hadn't thought about this until you just said that, Jason. Is it possible that all three of the coordinators are gone next year?
I understand fans don't like Bisaccia. I am telling you, he is entrenched in the culture there. He would be the one I would be most surprised to see leave, or be nudged out, or hint, hint, wink, wink, retired. I don't get the sense he's going anywhere.
He ain't retiring.
Obviously, I wouldn't think so. I mean, 66, no. I think. You know, look, obviously, we all know Halfley is going to be a candidate and will get interviews. Whether or not he gets a head coaching job, I'm not sure. Obviously, selfishly, I'd love to see him stick around. But, you know, Steno had some interview opportunities during the offseason. Last year, he interviewed for a head coaching job. He interviewed for a couple of different play-calling offensive coordinator jobs. You know, as much as he's a Wisconsin guy through and through, even though he chose the wrong university, I would say that I would not be surprised if they decide to go a different direction there. I would just, and I'm not here to tell Matt LaFleur what to do, but I think they could use some new ideas and somebody, you know, who can challenge LaFleur and bring him some new stuff. I don't know the dynamic there. I don't think there's any like deep-seated issues there, but like if you make Nathaniel Hackett the coordinator again, if you make Luke Getsy the coordinator, I don't know if that's a big change. I'd be curious if that ends up being the path, if Steno gets a job somewhere else where he gets to call plays, or if they just mutually decided to part ways. I wonder which way Matt LaFleur would go, because recycling guys that have been in the system for a long time, I'm not sure if that would be the right decision or not.
John Fossil. I want John Fossil as our special teams coordinator next year. Guy's a stud.
Let's get to our headlines.
We've buried the lead.
But it's not all doom and gloom.
Yeah, I've read the headlines.
It's time to predict this week's headlines.
Time for our headlines, predicting the outcome of our Week 18 showdown between the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings. Jason, since you are joining us remotely en route to the game, would you like to have the honors of going first in today's headlines?
Only if the cell signal on 29 holds out here. All right, I'll be quick. It's time to play Name That Tune, because all you need is love to stay healthy as the playoffs loom. Opportunity knocks for lots of unknowns as the Packers focus on that team their old QB owns. A four-game losing skid is less than ideal, but it's more important about how Jacobs and Watson feel. So this one won't matter, win, lose, or tie, as long as the Pack keeps its title hopes alive. Vikings 23, Packers 6, which was the score of the first meeting going the other direction.
Wow. Pretty good. Had a lot of time in the car to come up with that one, I guess, already so far this morning. So, well done, Jason. That was good. Tausch?
Hey, thanks.
How does yours compare?
Shorter, a little more succinct, but that shouldn't surprise anybody. The Ravens' loss left Packer fans with blank stares, and now they must play a game where no one cares. They made Malik wealthy. Now get everyone healthy. The playoffs are next. Bring on the Bears.
Yeah, that's a good one. Well done. All by yourself you came up with that one too, right?
I didn't do any of it. Nope, I just read it.
And a Merry Christmas to all, indeed. Mine does not rhyme. Minnesota! Packers take the field, either win, lose, or tie Vikings in regular season finale. That's where we're at. Doesn't matter. Minnesota what?
Gabuna bar.
Yeah.
Thanks. You put in less effort than the Packers are going to.
I actually thought for more than a minute about what I wanted to say there, and that's what I came up with. I
should have thought longer.
Thank you. I thought you guys would appreciate the Packers take the field, either win, lose, or tie Vikings in a headline. But apparently not. So you win, I lose. Those are our headlines.
Boom.
On Wildy and Tausch. Jason, any final thoughts before we lose your cell signal on Highway 29 as you head over to Minneapolis to cover Sunday's game?
This isn't the end for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week, right? We're still going to do it for the playoff game.
Correct, yes.
Steinhoffel, they may have more than one.
Sleepers of the Week continue through the postseason. All standings count as we get into the postseason, correct.
Okay, just wanted to make sure we're on the same page there because I don't like. I want to make sure Tausch has plenty of time to declare himself the winner and invalidate whatever AFC Richmond analytics says. So, no, guys, thanks for having me as a guest. I really enjoyed it. I think Paula and the girls really enjoyed it as well, hearing only
sure
my side
did.
Of the conversation.
Yep. I'm sure they did. I tried to tell Jesse, Paula doesn't want Jason doing shows when he takes days, but here we go. I'm sure Paula was excited about it.
She definitely enjoyed it. She can't wait to listen to the podcast on ESPN Wisconsin, our app, so she can hear the other side of our conversation.
Yeah. That'd be good.
That would be outstanding.
Save that for the ride home.
Luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that'd be great.
We can play it on Spotify, too, now that we're back.
Yeah, big time. Jason, have fun in Minneapolis. Looking forward to hearing your takeaways on Monday morning.
All right, boys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wildy joining us en route to Minnesota to cover Packers-Vikings this weekend.
Jason's a fascinating fella, man. He is a fascinating fella.
Care to share anything more on that?
No. No, I'm all set.
All right. Well, in that case, we will then move ahead to drawing our trivia winner, and Riley Yauch gets his time to shine, leading us in a round of Whoa, Riley. That's all straight ahead as we continue on Wildy and Tausch. Riley Yauch, our cousin sub of the day producing today, takes over in a moment. Wildy and Tausch, Jesse and Tausch. Thanks again to Jason Wildy joining on his way to Minnesota, covering Packers-Vikings on Sunday. A couple of different segments with Jason. If you missed any of it, catch the full show podcast available on the ESPN Wisconsin app. First up, I do have our Wildy and Tausch trivia drawing to do, first time in 2026. Weird couple of weeks here, Tausch, with the holidays being in the middle of the week. It feels like we've had like four weekends over the span of the last 2 weeks. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a goofy. I don't know. I was trying to figure out if this was good or bad. And I think on the whole, it's good. But I kind of like our holidays being either the beginning of the week or the end of the week. It gives you a little more structure to what's going on. Because this just was basically 2 weeks of, you know, just trying to figure out what was going on, which I still don't know.
2 weeks of figuring out what was going on. 1 week of figuring out who's going to win a prize pack from Cousin Subs and Iron Jock. Everybody's got three entries this week. And congratulations to today's contestant, Chris in Maguanago. Chris in Maguanago. Chip number four belonged to him. Congratulations, Chris. He is the winner of our prize pack from Iron Jock and Cousin Subs. Best win Maguanago may get in 2026. Congratulations to Chris, our winner for Wildy and Tausch Trivia. Time now for Woe Riley.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Sirocco's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wildy and Tausch.
All right, guys. So first I have a question that could lead into college football discussion if we have time. So I was driving back from Manhattan, Kansas yesterday. I was visiting one of my buddies in the military. He's out at Fort Riley down in Manhattan.
The Little Apple.
Exactly. They go crazy on New Year's Eve in the Little Apple. But so I was driving back, 10-hour drive, and it was perfect because I had college football on all day that I could watch. And I put the emphasis on watch. I have a little suction cup thing that holds my phone where I can put maps up there. And I'm mostly on long stretches of highway. So I was like, you know what?
Well, who's driving?
This, me. It's just
this
me.
This is incredibly irresponsible
so
already.
So I just put the football game up.
I don't think you should
phone.
Be admitting this in a
works,
public
Riley.
Forum.
No, you should not admit this publicly. That's not legal.
In FYI, multiple states, crossing state lines.
I don't care what suction cups you're using. Now, if somebody was driving, like if you had Jell driving and he was Ubering you and you were in the back seat, that's perfect.
Okay.
The games were on ESPN Radio. Just pull up the ESPN Wisconsin app and stream the radio broadcast,
yeah.
And then you won't get in any trouble.
You know, in hindsight, that's definitely a better idea. I didn't know there were legal ramifications.
You can't watch TV while you're driving.
You're watching
I was watching the road. I was listening to my favorite broadcasters, Joe Tessitore and Jesse Palmer, and then like glancing every great once in a while.
Sure.
I will say this. I had a friend who lived in Tennessee who drove up to visit me in Sun Prairie a number of years ago.
Is this a limerick? No. This sounds like the start of a riddle. I knew a man from Tennessee.
As I started thinking, I said, you know, it does sound like that. He drove up to visit me a number of years ago. It was a 7 or 8 hour drive. And he turned on Netflix on his phone, but he had a comedy special on. And so he said it was the same as listening to like a podcast of a comedian. And so he turned it on Netflix, but then he put it like in his center console, didn't look at it. He was just listening to the stand-up. Like hour or whatever it was. That I would say is a little bit more. Like I thought that was the worst I had heard of until this. You just can't do this.
Riley, did you think that? And for the record, don't act like you weren't watching. You just said you had straightaway roads. I mean,
when. There were no other cars around. When it felt safe to take a look, I would take a look and glance.
Okay.
Whoa, Nelly!
Now, in the last 2 minutes, actual college football, one of the big games yesterday, the Rose Bowl, Indiana and Alabama. Indiana just shellacking Bama.
They did.
Is this not the greatest turnaround story in sports with Kurt Cignetti, what he's done with the Hoosiers from one of the worst programs in college football history to now it looks like they're going to be a dynastic empire? Like, is this not the greatest turnaround in sports?
Let's slow our roll with this dynastic empire, okay? Let's slow that down a little bit. It's a hell of a turnaround, no doubt about it. Cignetti deserves a ton of credit. Indiana's been fantastic. I think it gives hope to all of us Badger fans that this thing can flip quick. Dynastic seems strong. They haven't even won one yet. Let's see him beat Oregon and then Ole Miss. And then if they do that, then we can maybe start talking. But this thing, as we've seen now that the SEC doesn't have all of the quote-unquote monetary advantages that they used to, things change a little bit. It's not as easy when you just bulldog people because you're doing things maybe that aren't supposed to be being done. I think there's plenty of programs that should look at what Indiana's doing and say, why can't we do that?
I agree with Tausch. Indiana has not won it yet, so we got to make sure that they actually get the job done here. I will say this. The potential collision course for the championship that Tausch just said, Indiana and the incredible turnaround led by the former Badgers offensive line coach, by the way, Bostad, who's now at Indiana, and Ole Miss, without their coach, who left for another job with a better chance to win a title, now being one of the final four teams left. If they play each other in the national championship game, might be one of my favorite championship games we will ever see. those two storylines would be incredible. So that being said, it's probably going to be Oregon and Miami in the championship game. But that would be awesome to see Indiana and Ole Miss play each other, because those two programs are the two, I think, the two biggest stories in college football this year. And so looking at those two, if they were able to go toe-to-toe for the championship, it would be a fitting ending to this college football season.
Yeah, and I think it's either one team gets their first ever national championship or Miami wins their first in two decades.
In a long time, yeah.
Finally some parity in college football.
Miami ain't winning nothing. Miami ain't winning
nothing. I didn't think Miami would beat Ohio State, but here they are. They did it.
Yeah.
They got to where they are.
They got a shot.
They do have a shot.
That's it for Woe Riley. Feel Good Friday, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints, is coming up next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Time to finish off the week and send us into the weekend, which feels like another holiday weekend, but of course it's not necessarily another holiday weekend. It's Feel Good Friday, and it's painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints. And Tausch, you've been telling us all throughout November and December about what you and Sarah have had going on with the AmFam Children's Hospital, and that has now come to a close for our Feel Good Friday. What are some of our final numbers that you have seen from your big initiative with the AmFam Children's Hospital?
Well, first off, I want to thank everybody, our fans, and everybody that has jumped in here, because last year I think we had 70 or 80 gifts. This year we got all the way up to 132. There's a few more outside of that, but again, we went right up to the right up until the final tick on the 31st, but we ended up reaching our goal of 50,000. AmFam does the match, so we got to $100,000 again. I think this is our fourth year that we've been able to do this for the Children's Hospital, and just could not thank our fans and could not thank everybody that jumped in and helped us with this virtual toy drive. It's something we love doing, and it's always great when you have success, and our campaign was successful again. So thank you to American Family Insurance, and thank you to all of our fans, listeners, and everybody that chipped in and helped make this a great campaign.
That is awesome to hear. So thankful that you were able to achieve that goal, and hopefully it'll be even more in 2026. Congratulations to you and Sarah, and of course everyone involved with the AmFam Children's Hospital for a great cause. That'll do it for this week. The Channel3000.com Bowl, Sunday afternoon in Minneapolis between the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings. Big game, Tausch. Enjoy it on Sunday.
Yeah, I can't wait. Bishop's Charity / Tito's / Channel 3, whatever we're calling it. Can't wait to watch Johnny Toon go try to get a W up in Minnesota.
Our show will be back at full strength on Monday. Jason will be back in his normal location in Green Bay. We will recap it all coming up on Monday. Thanks so much for joining us today. As Jason always says, have a great day. Take care. Be good.